Welcome to Polycast, a Civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mean Team.
Ed Jin.
With guest co-host...
Osbeto.
Now, Osbeto, you're good with doing the introduction, right? You've been on the show 3 times before. You got this.
That's right. Yeah, so, How what would you like me to say?
Why don't you say Polycast is the best podcast that ever was and ever will be. Ever is. That wasn't a joke.
Okay, yeah, so that's what you want me to say. Okay, but what should I actually say? Welcome to episode number 293 of a Polycast. I am the guest this week, Osbeto. We also have regular host, Dan Quick.
Fortunately, unfortunate.
The Me in Team.
Now patching holes in former opponent cities.
Makalua.
Still enough caffeine this early in the morning.
And finally, Mad Jin.
I'm only halfway done my coffee, so.
I am also halfway done with something.
No one asked. We don't want the answer.
Silence is the only answer.
We're halfway there.
The fall 2017 update for Civilization VI is now available because, you know, they wouldn't go ahead and release that the week after we start talking about what the preview is because they don't coordinate with us.
Mm-hmm. It's always in between our episodes. That's how it works.
It absolutely is. And you know what? We wouldn't want it any other way. If you are currently logged in to Steam and you have Civilization VI and you're wondering, gee, I don't see all the patch content, well, there's a few things that you're going to want to try. My favorite is make sure that all downloadable content is enabled under the additional content menu because apparently that's not been everyone's experience. You wouldn't want to download new content and then have it disabled by default when you launch the game. Oh, no. That would just be crazy. If that still doesn't work, then verify your game files through Steam. If that doesn't work, then uncheck all of the downloadable content that is enabled, which at this point is all of them. That should uninstall it. And then check the box again to download the downloadable content a second time. If that still doesn't work, then deactivate all of your mods and try again from the patch notes. Before we even talk about the new civilizations, I actually want to start with the religion update.
Yep.
Because, again, I'd like to have a little conversation with 2K and Frax about what they decide to describe in the preview to the patch. And I'm not even going to be going in order here, necessarily. I want to start with the second item on the list, which should have been the first item on the list and in bold, italic, and underlined. All religious units move to their own layer, similar to trade units and spies.
Yes.
Fantastic.
One of the single best changes of the patch.
Finally.
Phil acknowledges that there is at least one other good change to the patch, and by that he means there is one other good change, which I'm certain we will find out what Phil thinks that is.
We'll see.
There is added the Condemn Heretic unit action to allow military units to eliminate religious units in their tile, similar to pillaging a trade route. Very good, seeing as how you move religious units to their own lair. That's certain that we kind of closed the loop on that. There are also 2 new pantheons, 2 new founder beliefs, 2 new follower beliefs, 2 new enhancer beliefs, and 2 new worship beliefs with new buildings. Oh, I managed to say that in one sentence. But, of course, that wasn't actually included in the patch notes, what those were. But, fortunately, we have Civilization fans such as Dragabond over on Civilization Fanatic Center to tell us. So, first off, pantheon, city, patron, goddess, plus 25% production towards districts and cities without a specialty district. Earth Goddess, plus 1 faith from tiles with charming or better appeal. And, in fact, there is a bonus point here because Religious Idols Pantheon has been changed. It used to be plus 1 faith for mines over luxury bonus resources. Now it's plus 2. Now with 100% more. We've got the Worship Building. I'm calling it DM because I'm not going to even try to pronounce that. I'll just say up front, I'll probably butcher it. You get plus 3 faith and plus 1 additional faith for each era since constructed or last repaired. And then there is the other Worship Building, which gives you plus 3 faith and plus 1 amenity. I like the sound of both of those, but I'm kind of leaning more towards the second one, actually. Yay, amenities.
Mm.
follower beliefs. We've got choral music, shrines and temples provide culture equal to their intrinsic faith output, and warrior monks. Allow spending faith to train warrior monks. Medieval land combat units with a unique promotion tree may only be purchased in a city with a temple in its holy site. I like the sound of the choral music more, but that's simply maybe because warrior monks are new and not exactly certain how that's going to engage with gameplay at this particular point in time. Founder belief. We've got cross-cultural dialogue. That's +1 science for every 5 followers of this religion and their civilization. Not bad. But how about religious unity? +1 envoy at each city-state when it first adopts this religion, in addition to an envoy from a city-state quest. And lastly, the enhancer beliefs. We've got burial grounds, a culture bomb adjacent tiles when completing a holy site. Oh, thank you. But there's also religious colonization. Cities start with this religion in place if founded by a player who has this as their majority religion.
That's handy.
Yeah, no waiting for it to have to spread, like if you settle on another continent.
As for the two, the pantheons, the one I'm most actually excited about is actually the city Patreon goddess, with a +25 production towards districts in cities without a specialty district. Honestly, anything that's going to improve district production at this point is beneficial.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also missing from patch notes or otherwise in the game, certain something-something district scale costing. But anyway, we've got to have something to still complain about on this show. Improve long-term usefulness of missionaries by giving their spread religion ability 10% eviction of all other religions. Oh, so we're going to dip a little bit into what the Inquisitors do. I mean, it is true that spreading your religion does not necessarily mean that you are diminishing the presence of another religion, because it could just be, right, that you're spreading your religion to people who were atheists, and it didn't affect the other religions. However,
yes.
I think it's fair to say, in terms of the mechanics...
Well, the game represents it as pretty zero-sum. I mean, I guess, yeah, not everyone in the city is already a follower, then you could in principle, but otherwise it's zero-sum. There's only so many people pop in the city.
And also, they added religious pressure to both ends of a trade route. Speaking of religious pressure, a destination city gets 1 pressure per turn of the origin city's majority religion, if it has one. Of course, with the qualifier, if it has one. And the origin city gets 0.5 pressure per turn of the destination city's majority religion.
If it has one, well,
if it has one.
That just seems to make sense, because after all, when you establish a trade route, if we think of, I'm sorry, I'm going to use a real-world argument, but I'm going to do it anyway, then people get together to discuss bartering for things or buying things with gold or some other denomination of currency, you're inevitably going to be talking about things other than the actual trade. So it makes sense that over the course of that trade route, there's going to be a little discussion about the bigger questions in life, such as who are we and how did we get here, and religion attempts to address that. So that makes sense. Why wasn't that from the beginning, actually?
Yes.
We'll leave the actually new civilizations for last, just because we can. Although we go on to the next item in the patch notes with Phil on the panel, I'm not certain we'll ever leave this topic, but we'll try. User interface enhancements.
Actually, I don't have a lot to say about this. The enhancements are in quotes, and they haven't improved the UI much, and they actually downgraded it in a couple spots, but whatever. Basically, they didn't fix it, so there you go.
There were certainly enhancements, but addressing some of the underlying issues, major issues that have been identified in the years since the game has been released, yeah, no, not so much. But what do we have? I guess we'll take something is better than nothing in this case? Question mark.
I guess.
Trade overview. Available routes tab will now show all possible routes between two cities, regardless if the origin city has a trader located at it. And my favorite, trade routes chooser now sorts routes when filtered by a yield. Anything, absolutely anything, to reduce the amount of time that I am spending on making this particular choice would be fantastic, and now we have it.
It's a plus.
Rest and repair actions inform you if you can't heal due to a missing strategic resource.
Oh, that would be nice to know, yes.
And also change sort order for gossip, so most recent messages are shown first. But don't worry, they still go away.
Are they still useless, like I just made a deal with Dan and my spies tell me I made a deal with Dan?
Slightly less, but still yes.
If that is the most recent message, then it will be shown first, and that's a priority, never.
Hey.
Artificial intelligence tuning. Some word choice here, and it's really actually very consistent with what we talked about in the preview. But we do have improved AI's naval gameplay, including protection and healing of naval units, building a proper navy, and assaulting coastal cities. I wonder what Tukey and Firaxis think is a quote-unquote proper Navy, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
Improvement's good. I think we said on the last episode, you know, being 20% effective and then going to being 30% effective is still improvement. It is more effective. AI will attempt to reconvert its holy cities. That wasn't in the game already, but...
Apparently not.
Yeah, that...
I cringed a little at that, but...
Mm.
I guess I also cringed at myself for not realizing that wasn't already in the game.
Yeah. Like, wait, they don't try to do that? I thought, okay.
Improve AI city and district placement. Oh, there's nothing like capturing an AI city, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, where there's this one hex, it is surrounded by mountains, and no, the campus district is not there.
Yeah. Pro move there, AI, pro move.
Hey, look at that. You settled one off the coast. Well, that's okay. You can construct a harbor. You can construct naval units there. You're not getting access to the pearls because it's four hexes out and there's no other sources of it around. As examples. Improve the AI's evaluation of great works. Improve scouts' drive to explore tribal villages. What?
Oh, so when they're on automate, they'll actually go look at it and not just go, dee, 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 dee. Hey, you should know, there's a tribal village here. Okay, bye.
Unit needs orders. Yeah, go into the tribal village. This is not Civilization or Civilization 2 where it could spawn barbarians, okay? You are fine.
Well, I like the word drive, though. It sort of means it's trying to get enthusiasm up to do it. It's like, before it's like, no, I don't know, yeah. But now it's driven, you know. That's good that they can, in AI, can drive a, you know, the scout. That's,
yeah,
that's something, isn't it?
I suppose if you have quick movement on, you're not going to see that animation that emphasizes their art of drive. Well.
Yeah. Will I, won't I? Yeah, oh, I don't know.
I moved into that hex a fraction of a second sooner than I used to. Did you notice? No?
Sounds about right.
Thank you so much in a turn-based game. Improved siege attacks. That's actually a little underwhelming, that comment. What siege attacks, what units, I guess, what situation. I guess they mean all situations, but there's also new AI support for religious heal and condemn heretic actions. Good, good. All right, based on what you either added or changed to the game. Improve AI use of inquisitors.
See what that means in practice.
Yeah. Adjusted religious strategies, preventing large hordes of units going to the same distant city. Hey, guys, there's a half a dozen cities right beside you of mine that you have not yet converted, but you're really focused on this far-flung city of mine that is already converted. Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
The money grubber agenda is no longer as sensitive to fluctuations in income. Yeah, there is nothing like on one turn saying, wow, look at all the money you have. And then on the next turn, hey, you are losing money. I just spent all my gold to buy a unit to squash you. I'm still making the same amount per turn. Why did that change instantly on one turn? And my favorite under AI tuning, AI will no longer commit to battles they cannot win. Well,
yeah, I like that comment as well.
That's a very absolute statement. Absolute statements are absolutely problematic, but I look forward to testing that out in theory, or seeing that tested in theory, to be honest.
From what I've heard, it does not work as that says.
No.
That's a real shocker.
Really, I'm glad I was seated when you told me, Phil. I could have fallen over and hit my head.
I was just trying to protect you, Dan.
Hashtag heart. Here we go. Let's talk about this for the next 5 seconds. Multiplayer, ongoing stability improvements.
Yeah.
Thank you? Question mark?
Basically, well, MP, it wasn't fixed yet. They should just put that there and, okay.
Balance changes. Allow friendly or allied spies to escape just before a nuke is detonated on a city they are in. All other spies are still killed.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's just, all right. I guess, you know, it makes sense that, you know, we've got allied or friendly spies just before it's detonated. You know, there's a little bit of intel saying, hey, guess what? There's a nuke that's about to detonate. You might want to get out of Dodge. Okay, fine.
The weird thing is a balance change. Like, you could just, like, take your spy out of there before you fire the nuke in previous patches. But, I mean, I guess you can save a little bit of time, so it's a small balance change, I guess.
Added guilds as a prerequisite for humanism, so you have theater square before museums. Really? Imagine that. You have the concept of a theater district before you decide what could go in said. Wow. Okay.
It's a start. Get some progression sense going on here.
Well, like in Civ 4, you could build rock and roll without researching music, so, you know, it's not a difference without precedence.
I forgot about that. Because I use that so infrequently, but that's true.
Change the civic prereqs between industrial and modern, so zoo is required before stadiums. I don't feel as strongly towards that.
No, exactly.
You could have a zoo before a stadium. That sounds like we're passing judgment on zoos and stadiums there. But anyway, okay, sure. Thank you for telling us, at the very least. Ah, Persian Immortal Unit now behaves primarily as a melee unit with a ranged attack ability. So does that mean then that if it behaves primarily as a melee unit, it could in fact take a city and not just continue to be there and bombard it? And not be able to take it.
And that's the implication, but we'll see what actually happens.
Yeah, it didn't explicitly say that. Plus, they said primarily as, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Mm.
All right, bug fixes. I'm going to go in some priority order here based on my own. And I have to start with this one. Fix player being able to make peace with city-states while at war with their suzerain.
That took a little while, but it's in the game now. You can actually, like, use your city-states as allies in a war, and vice versa, so can the AI, yeah.
They introduced that somehow in a patch earlier this year because the game was not like that upon release.
No, that's true. No, it wasn't.
Also, and I say this second only because I found the first one a little bit more amusing, only because it was a fix of something they introduced, but speaking of actually something else they introduced, fixed issues where AI appears to refuse their own deal proposals.
Oh, yes.
But sometimes it could actually be that they would refuse that deal. And, of course, it's, you know, typically happening rollover or something. But then you could go and initiate contact with them and offer the exact same deal, and they may actually accept it. So it's just one of those, like, really, really, really weird things. Or even in the same screen, like, you clear all those items and then propose it, and then they would accept it. Or if they were wanting multiple things, I want these two things for these two things, and they would, of course, upfront say, no, I'm going to refuse this, even though they're the ones that propose that. You could take off one item, let's say, on both sides, and then propose them individually, and there were times when they were accepted. Or even better, even though it said they would refuse, in some cases you could actually say, what would it take? And then they would say, I would accept this deal. So there were lots of really weird combinations of things in there. Also, fixed an issue where AI would trade invalid items. Yeah. Offer to trade something that they no longer had.
Yeah.
I could see that happening in a multiplayer situation, right? That, oh, okay, I've got two trade proposals. I look at this one first. Oh, they want my dies for whatever. But if you only had one, then it would be invalid. But in this, the AI was doing this. I take it that was the AI would trade invalid items between each other as well as the human player. Not that we would necessarily know that, of course. Captured spies are immediately returned when a player is defeated. What are you returning them to? They should clear. They should be cleared. If you've captured a spy from a civ, and now that civ is gone, it's just gone. Why is it
they're returning
returned?
To nothing. They're returning to nothing, Dan.
I read it as if you've got your spies being captured by the AI and you then wipe out the AI, you get your spy back.
No, return to nothing. I like that better.
Well,
even though that doesn't make as much sense.
Okay, yeah, your spy's been captured. That civ has been wiped out.
Yeah, so you get your spy back because they're dead.
Hmm.
I mean, it's such a small thing. Like, brokering spies is weird anyway, but, like, they're not that expensive. But okay, all right. It's not a big deal.
But it would make sense if you were the one that defeated the AI, that, you know, you could free your own spy. But, yeah, if someone else defeats somebody, yeah, would they really return your spy?
The prison got attacked and they escaped on their own.
Yes.
Before the other people got there.
Confusion.
Yes.
Conquering a city with a spaceport under sabotage no longer redirects that mission at yourself.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And then I guess lastly, there were some people that have been complaining about the motion blur that has been added to the leaders. The immediate response is, well, just get rid of the animations if you don't like it. Other people are like, but I like the animations. They're humorous. I just don't want the blur. There is a setting within that you can go from high, medium, and low. And some people have reported if you're at high and if you go down to medium, then that should address the concern that you have with the motion blur. And I suppose if you're at medium and it's bothering you, you could go down to low and you'd be happy with that too. All right. New civilizations. We have the Khmer. I'd say it was a surprise to the Sith community, but we talked on the last episode about how come we already knew the Khmer were going to be in, as well as Indonesia. But Khmer, we have the Grand Berets. Farms provide +2 food if adjacent to an aqueduct, +3 faith, and +1 amenity to each city with an aqueduct. Wow. I want aqueducts. Moves them from like being like an edge case to a no, always, please. The unique ability of its leader, J-Man, there we go, J-Man the 8th, all hate mail. Holy sites provide +2 food and +1 housing if placed on a river. Holy sites provide a culture bomb. You've got the Dom Ray, it unlocks with the military engineering technology. It is a medieval era siege unit. You can move and shoot in the same turn and exerts a zone of control. And the Persat, it gives you the same yield as a temple, but missionaries purchased in the city receive the martyr promotion, and you also get +1 relic slot.
It's handy for culture.
I want to try this civilization just for their unique ability alone. Yeah, this is great for all the additional food, Dan, but if you don't have the housing to go along with it, then what you going to do? Well, then maybe you actually want a holy site if you place it next to a river and you get +1 housing, or just in general pay more attention to the housing that you are going to be getting and should be getting, because after all, the aqueduct will provide that for you as well.
Mm.
So it shouldn't be an issue if you just pay attention and remember about the food is not the only major variable in determining population growth. You also need the housing to go along with it. What was missing from the patch notes was their agenda, however, but thanks to I Am Max Hailme on Civilization Fanatic Center, he provided that for us. Likes civilizations who avoid settling or conquering cities on small landmasses. Hates anyone with numerous cities on such islands. Huh.
Don't be us.
So,
pretty much.
That scales with map size, yes?
Better.
Don't be too sure.
Because if we play island plates and those are all considered small continents and they get pissy just because you exist, that's not going to be fun.
Just avoid settling full stop and then he'll like you fine. Oh, well.
Uh-huh.
That seems reasonable, right? Yes. Indonesia, unique ability. Minor adjacency for coastal tiles to holy site, campus, industrial zone, and theater square. +1 amenity to each entertainment complex adjacent to a coastal tile. So, coastal tiles. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, campus and industrial zones, those are absolutely core to majority of cities that you would be constructing, and amenities, everyone's going to be needing amenities as your civilization continues to grow, either in number of cities, or you're getting greater population, you're spreading out, you're in combat, so then you get an amenity to each entertainment complex adjacent to a coastal tile on top of the amenity you're already getting from the entertainment complex just by being there. Excellent. There is the unique ability. Naval units can be purchased with faith. Ooh. Religious units pay no movement to embark or disembark, +2 faith to city centers that are adjacent to a coast. So I guess we don't want to be Indonesia on Pangaea?
No.
Unless you're just going to settle along the coast of the Pangaea, I guess.
So long as you start on the coast of the Pangaea, that would be helpful, and then just stick along there. But man, naval units can be purchased with faith?
Uh-huh.
Presumably, just like with great people, purchasing faith costs less than gold, that if you have sufficient faith income, then...
Yeah, if I could buy frigates for 400 faith as opposed to 600 and something gold, sure.
Just ensure that you are generating faith, because quite frankly, that alone could be worth, amongst you know anything else, be reason to construct a holy site so that you can actually be getting faith output. Even if you don't end up with a religion, naval units can be purchased with faith.
Yep.
And, what could you perhaps purchase with faith with this unique ability? Oh, how about the unique frigate, which unlocks the mercenary civic that gives you +1 movement, +5 to combat when in a formation, and all units in formation inherit movement speed.
Boy, that's going to make bombarding cities down fast.
Yes. Of course, that's the Jong. We've got the Kampung, the unique improvement, displaced on coastal tiles that are adjacent to a sea resource, +1 housing, +1 production, +1 food for each adjacent fishing boat, more housing, production, and tourism as you advance through the game.
Ooh.
I mean, okay, maybe you're not going to get that +1 food because you don't have an adjacent fishing boat, but you get +1 housing and +1 production from that. So I guess I don't need to worry about taking God of the Sea Pantheon, which gives me +1 production on sea resources, but I could, and then it would be +2 production. It would be even better. Wow. I like this. Khmer agenda, likes civs with many holy sites and high average population, dislikes civs lacking in either of these areas. Well, just on balance, just reading this, Khmer looks good. Indonesia, I'm actually liking the sound of that even better.
We're going to have a fight tonight over who gets to play Indonesia, aren't we?
Well, these civs aren't quite as broken tier as some of the earlier DLC civs either, so I'll be more trying it out for interest rather than, well, crushing things.
Although you could probably still do that, too.
Yeah, you can raffle stomp with anybody.
Yeah, that's more situational and strategy as opposed to I chose this civ or this civ got chosen for me as compared to any other one. Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
First up, we got a new natural wonder. Got the Halong Bay. It is a two-tile natural wonder that can be found on coastal terrain and provides +3 food, +1 production, and +1 culture. And you also get +15 combat strength when defending in this tile. So I really want this to be at a choke point so I can defend in this tile. But if it's a two-tile natural wonder, I'm presuming then that each one of those tiles provides the +3 food and +1 production and +1 culture, as we see in other natural wonders. So that in and of itself, it's like, the equivalent of a grassland with a farm for each one of those hexes. That's good. And then it also gives production to go along with that and culture, which, especially earlier on in the game, that's how else you would get culture. I mean, that's half of a monument right there. And actually, if you work both of them, that's the equivalent to another monument. Jeepers. It's good at any time, but earlier on in the game, the better, which is probably usually the case with natural wonders, to be honest. And then there is the Angor what? Wonder. +1 population in all current cities when built. +1 housing in all cities. Oh, good, there's actually housing to support that population, so my city
doesn't
starve. Okay.
I was glad to see that. There's a population with no housing, and everybody's going to get pissed.
Must be built adjacent to an aqueduct district. Well, that makes sense as well. That sounds really good. When can you construct Angor Wat? From Medieval Fairs, Pacific, which is to be on the path to exploration and Merchant Republic.
So you're going to pick it up anyway.
Yeah, I just need to ensure that construct an aqueduct. Well, I definitely would be that, obviously, if I was the Khmer, but this is like, oh, I already have that. Assuming I still have a hex that's free, but it's medieval era, so I probably would. There would probably be some plains tile that isn't worth paying any attention to right yet or improving, at least compared to some other tiles. So yeah, no, that shouldn't be an issue.
The people are the heroes now.
Continuation of our previous episode.
Based on a request for the show by Timothy001 for our Christmas special last year. Not just alternative leaders, but also alternative abilities. The Germans, civilization ability, +2 gold from domestic trade routes, and trade routes to and from city-states, earn an envoy when sending a trade route to a city. Wow. So even more gold in the game.
And every single envoy in the game. Like, I'm sorry, it's really easy to get 20 trade routes in a game. So, like, what, every 20 turns or whatever for the trade route cycle, you get another 20 envoys?
The diplomatic policy where you can get +1 gold from every envoy every turn?
Yeah.
Okay, even more gold. Wow. We're already showered in gold.
So we heard you like gold.
I mean, if there was some rebalancing of the gold generation within the game, but as Igor F. said, he was trying to base it on how the game is currently, so, yeah, questionable there. You've got the Landsknecht, replaces the pikeman as the first unique unit, +5 melee strength over top of a pikeman, extra +1 strength versus anti-cavalry. Okay. I get the +5 melee strength. I'm not certain how far that extra +1 strength is going to go, but it's there. But then we also have a battleship replacement, the Helgoland, +5 range strength, +5 melee strength. That's not bad. And then we've got the unique infrastructure, which is the Rathus, replaces the market, +2 culture. Okay. In terms of leader abilities, we've got the first leader is Otto. His ability is the majority religion's worship building generates tourism, +1 culture from temples, +7 combat strength against city-states. Otto's agenda is aims to conquer religious city-states and dislikes suzerains of religious city-states, likes large empires with strong faith, and aims to become their ally. So, wait, okay.
Let's point this out. You can get an envoy spam when sending a trade route to a city-state, but then you're also going to give them combat bonuses against city-states and wants to conquer city-states. Did you not think about the design of the sieve when you put this together? Because those things are conflicting.
Yeah.
Hey, but here's a bunch of envoys, and then I kill you. What?
Yeah.
But probably realize that it's so overpowering getting all the extra gold for the envoys. It's unfair, so I've got to get rid of some of those city-states because I'm getting too much gold. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Oh, so hey, I'm going to build you up and knock you down in the same breath. Okay. Well,
or yeah, take some for yourself, and then you destroy some of the others, yeah.
Well, I think in that case, I would just not be Otto. I would be Bismarck. But before even Bismarck, Otto likes large empires with strong faith and aims to become their ally. But yet aims to conquer religious city-states and dislikes suzerains of religious city-states. Did you perhaps think that maybe a large empire with strong faith is benefiting from, gosh, I don't know, a relationship with a religious city-state? So it's like, yay, I want to like you, but now I've taken your religious city-state. I don't like you anymore. What? Let's try Bismarck instead. Ability, one extra military policy slot in any government, minus one to the cost of each unit's maintenance. Plus 5 combat strength when fighting neighboring civilizations and city-states. With diplomatic service, such wars count as reconquest wars. Okay. His agenda aims to become suzerain or conquer neighboring city-states. Dislikes suzerains of neighboring city-states. It's okay.
Japan.
Civilization ability, that's still the same, I believe. Unit of the leader is Hojo. Gets the ability Divine Wind, plus 5 combat strength.
That's the old Bushido, not the new Bushido.
Oh, this is just 5 Bushido.
Yes, yes. So he wants that back.
Newer leader, Ito Hirowumi. I am terrible at Japanese pronunciation sometimes. Ability, Meiji Restoration. Districts receive an additional standard adjacency bonus per adjacent district. So you're saying I should put more districts around my districts?
Well, which is kind of consistent with what Japan already likes, which is nice cluster districts for adjacency bonuses.
Yeah.
Being adjacent.
Plus 2 sites and trade routes to and from civilizations have researched the technology Japan does not yet have. Oh, so they're spying with traders.
That doesn't mean every technology, right? So then it's a plus
2. Yeah,
plus 2, plus 2, plus 2.
Plus 2, plus 2. Why do I have plus 20 with trading through America? I don't get it. Yeah, I hope that anything higher than 1 is just plus 2.
Because even then that could still be pretty powerful, right? If you were trading with half a dozen civilizations, that could just be plus 12.
You all had at least one tech each.
But at least you're going to have to maintain some kind of decent relations with those civilizations in order to be in a position to be able to do that, plus be able to reach them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I just have your trade route slots and that cap on your units when you might want to be doing some internal routes, so.
Yes, that too.
Agenda Kokutai. Seeks to be as advanced as the most advanced civilization, likes civilizations with a high science output that are also strong in culture, dislikes backward civilizations, especially if their culture is also weak. So if you neglect science and come to go kick him in the face, he's going to hate you even before you get there.
Seeks to be advanced as the most advanced civilization. So, I mean, it is possible that you can be as advanced as somebody else because you have the same number of technologies, but not necessarily the same technologies because then you wouldn't be getting the plus two science from trade routes.
And if you bother looking at the tech tree or the civics tree, you can see along the bottom, it's not even exact. It's actually pretty relative. But you can see all the different pictures of people going through the eras at what tech level or civic level they are. Even within eras, it's relative. So there's like early medieval, late medieval, or early Renaissance, mid-Renaissance, late Renaissance. So they already have that in the game. So that's pretty easy to measure, at least as a very, very rough perspective.
Dislikes backward civilizations. Hey, you haven't researched the technology that I don't have yet. Get on my level.
That's a pretty useful one for an AI, though, because it would cause the AI to target weaker nations, typically.
They didn't have a reason before that.
They went already.
Well, the AI doesn't always target that intelligently, so that's something.
Infrastructure, a dojo that replaces barracks, plus 1 citizen slot, and plus 2 faith. So we have samurais already. But these have, is that supposed to be minus 2 movement?
If they replace the knight, if you
because I guess that they should have
although
movement.
Knights only have 3 movement, so they want a 1 movement unit.
Yeah.
In effect.
Yes.
Why would you not just replace, like,
I'm sorry, there is literally nothing in history that says that samurai were slower than pretty much everything else. Like, you can move a cannon faster than you can move a samurai, apparently. And these are supposed to be replacing knights, so they'd even have a horse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get the 1 movement thing.
Yeah, I don't either.
Makes no sense.
That doesn't seem to be a fair trade-off to start with the promotion yeah. produced in a city that has at least two districts.
Yeah, two districts. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, ooh, look, you and your one movement. Hey, guess what?
I can have my team movement back.
Yeah, like, hi, I can shoot you this turn from two or three tiles away. Oh, look, I can shoot you next turn from two or three hexes away. Like, a one movement unit is a dead unit. It will never catch anything.
It will never catch anything. It can't run away from anything. What? I realize Samurai were supposed to not run away from anything, but come on, guys. No, 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 no.
The only way you can make it work is long range siege or something that's purely designed as a defensive unit.
Yes. I was about to say, is that the idea that they're a defensive unit? That they stay at home and don't go anywhere?
Possibly.
It would be completely and utterly useless unit.
Yeah. One movement? Even the slowest things we have are at least two movement. That's weird.
Even if the samurai has greater strength than whatever unit is attacking it, it's that movement, so you've got to
catch him to stick your sword in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to consider, I mean, knights start with three movement, not four.
Yes.
Maybe that was supposed to be just minus one to bring it down to the normal movement speed or something. That would be possible.
I'd assume that's probably what the intention is, and it's just got the math slightly wrong.
Oh, possible.
We were doing better with the first 10 civilizations overall than we are with these first two to this time. Maybe Phil will save us with Persia.
We'll see. Civilization ability, satrapies? Is that how you say that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, plus one trade route capacity with political philosophy, plus two gold on culture. Unique unit one, immortal, replaces swordsman, minus six melee, two range, 25 range strength, nothing too special here yet. Griff Panvar. I'm just doing that phonetically. That's almost certainly wrong. Available with horseback riding, minus eight melee strength, can attack twice per turn. That's an intrigue.
Yes, because it's a knight replacement that comes at horseback riding.
Yeah, that's actually pretty strong.
You can have some knights early, but they're going to be crappy knights, apparently.
Well, no.
And then you're not going to get real knights later.
But knights are base 48, right? So you're telling me that at horseback riding, we're getting a 40 strength unit that can attack twice per turn.
That's called a Baru.
That's called OP.
Coupled with the Persian unique ability, unless they changed it, that's going to be pretty nice. Although, you don't get knights later, so I guess you better take advantage early.
They could have just made it a horse replacement.
I mean, yeah, could have. It's an interesting idea, though, to make something much stronger than it should be in its era, but then you have a penalty for that later.
Not an added bonus of attacking twice per turn.
Well, that's interesting, because that usually allows you to do other stuff you couldn't do after attacking as well, like, say, move or pillage, which could be really obnoxious.
Yeah, let me pillage and get my health back, thanks.
But as has been pointed out, because it's a knight replacement at horseback riding, I'm not really particularly concerned with, I better get my knight replacement out of the way from attacking because it's going to get squashed. No, at the era that it's arrived, it's at 40 strength, and now it can attack twice per turn.
Yeah.
If that said replace horseman, and then that was minus 8 melee strength and can attack twice per turn, that's a more interesting consideration. I'm not certain you're farther ahead.
No, you're probably not, because you take so much damage.
No, well, you wouldn't have the negative 8 melee strength at that point. You'd
Okay.
That's a huge chunk of a horse's base. Being able to melee attack twice per turn effectively just means it'll be dead faster. Because every time it attacks, it'll lose health. So.
Yeah.
So
it will let you attack, move out, move another one in, attack, move out, move another one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so, no, that would be
if
fine,
the
but
health
you wouldn't
is
actually
reasonable,
doing...
or if the strength is reasonable, then it's a good unit. But, yeah, if you make it so much weaker, then it's going to take so many hits to kill anything that it would be a useless unit.
I look forward to the artificial intelligence using this unit.
If you're going to aim for that, you would have said can move after attacking.
Yeah.
Rather than attack twice per turn.
Well, attack twice per turn is a little bit more flexible, though.
More powerful. By far, but if you were looking at the, look, I can attack and move out of the way, and then you can attack and move out of the way, you wouldn't waste a attack twice per turn trying to get that. You would just say, can move after attacking, if
I
that
suppose.
Would plan for it.
But this makes it stronger, because in some situations, you can still attack the second time, like when you just want to take the city.
But anyways, as is written anyways, knight replacement, that horseback riding that can attack twice per turn, yeah.
I don't have a problem with the idea. I don't know how this would play out in practice, but...
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem in practice.
If you're operating without knights, at least in single player, it's not going to kill you, but yeah, in MP, I think this would still be better than some of your alternatives, despite that.
Yeah.
But, okay. Unique Infrastructure, Pieri Daiza. Is that correct? These things are really tough for me. I'm not well versed enough in the ways of the world in pronouncing other languages. Cannot be built on tundra or snow or adjacent to another one. +1 culture, +1 for each adjacent holy site and theater square, and another +1 with diplomatic service. That's a mouthful. +2 gold, and another +1 for each adjacent commercial hub and city center, +2 appeal. Okay.
That's basically what's in the game already.
Yeah.
Ish.
I like that it cannot be built next to another one, and then they've also got the cannot be built on tundra or snow. It's like, oh, I just couldn't chain these in my tundra and snow. That would be pretty well useless otherwise. Gee, that's too bad. That's good. That's in there. That's in there.
So much culture.
Why are you founding a city in the snow? No reason.
Trade around.
No, we're just going to turn this into a bit of a nice commercial or whatever paradise. In the middle of nowhere. Don't mind the freezing.
Well, you're still getting the golden culture from sending a trade route from it, so.
Yeah. Anyways,
so Darius gets the ability to have roads that are one more level advanced, +2 gold for markets, and his agenda is to support non-state religions dominating his cities that are far enough from the capital, dislikes leaders converting his capital or cities near it. That's, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And leader two is Khosro. Ability, cavalry units produce 50% faster, farms provide 1 gold. That's a lot of gold, potentially. And then Plato's King likes civilizations with many campuses and aqueducts, and apparently doesn't dislike anything,
according
to this agenda.
An amenable fellow.
Yep.
Just very amenable to, like, just hanging out.
Yeah. With regards to Darius's agenda, yeah, supports non-state religions dominating his cities that are far enough from the capital. What does that mean?
Yeah,
that are far enough.
What's far enough?
Yeah.
Can we have a hex definition of that, please?
50 hexes, regardless of map size.
Yeah.
I've got it. That are not on the same continent.
Ah. Oh, God.
Do we want to trust the way that this game calculates continents? Yeah.
Or, hey, my capital's
a concrete divider, so.
Yeah, my capital is on the hex on that continent.
Yes.
My temple district's on the other continent.
Yep.
Yeah, a continental divide's not useful for any of that. I mean, if you could say any city within, pick a random number, that would be more useful. But even, why would you support other religions? It's dominating your cities.
Exactly. That it doesn't make
that,
from a pure sort of game sense, like, why would it matter how far they are? You would not like any non-state religion in your cities.
Yeah. Why would you be like, oh, please, please, come convert everything except for this part. You cross this line. Key.
I'm going to draw a line.
I mean, if you don't have a state religion, you didn't found a religion yourself, then okay, but that still gets really weird.
No, this is non-state, so that means that he did found a religion.
Hmm.
So he only wants his religion in his capital and a couple cities, and then everybody else can go screw themselves religiously.
But then if he doesn't found a religion, then he supports nothing. And,
and then he's got absolutely nothing.
He has no agenda. No agenda.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's just useless. Yeah. Not very good. Okay, we're going to Spania. We have the Silver Fleet. May construct fleets and armadas with mercantilism. Wait, what? Fleets and armadas at mercantilism? Both? Really?
Sure.
Okay, but, you know, usually you just space that. Like, okay, gets earlier fleets and armadas. Not, hey, look, we can have a fleet and an armada at mercantilism because, what?
At the same time.
There you go. Just skip the middle step and go right to the end.
Yay.
Anyways, intercontinental trade routes provide 2 gold, the usual stuff for Spain.
Yep.
Anyway, unique unit to 1, Jeanette, because she's a... Wait, what?
Jeanette. Jeanette. I thought that's probably what I was going to end up calling it.
Places the knight. Upgrades from both horseman and heavy chariot, because that's even possible. I guess we're just assuming that the code base changes to allow crossing over from different classes into one, and that you have upgrade choices in case you don't want to do that for one unit. And then upgrades into cav. Well, that's even better. Okay, so we're changing the code base to allow different classes to upgrade into each other, and then also changing the code base so that basic units don't have anything upgraded into them that you have to build from scratch because you deleted their upgrade structure. I mean, sure, That's possible, or at least a possible idea, but for one unit? Really? And also, are they purposely just trying to screw them over so that they don't get tanks?
Maybe.
And plus one movement has a 40% chance of retreating during attack, only to attack again with plus five combat strength. So, luck-based bonus?
Yep. Yes.
Oh no, we gotta run away! Ha ha, we didn't. What? Tertio replaces the musket men, which is kind of weird since the Tertio was a giant box of pikes with a few muskets, but whatever. Plus 20 production cost, 3 extra melee, 6 melee strength versus mounted unit. Plaza de Toro replaces the arena. Plus 1 amenity if near a pasture. Okay. Plus 1 culture.
Alright.
I mean, it's okay because it's the arena replacement. So you just put your entertainment districts right next to pastures.
Yep.
Because everybody at the stadium wants to smell that cow patty. All right, so leader number one, Bella, has her Reconquista. Conquered cities are automatically converted, and the five combat strengths are basically what's in the game, and has an agenda of Catholic monarch, likes leaders with the same religion, dislikes leaders trying to convert her cities, and those following religions founded on other continents. What if she didn't found Catholicism?
Get a religion?
Now her agenda is the Catholic monarch because she didn't found Catholicism?
Or she didn't get a religion in the first place?
Yeah. They like leaders with the same religion. That's fine because somebody else can found a religion and then give it to her.
Yep.
And then she'll like being a convert rather than the founder. That's okay. Dislikes leaders trying to convert her cities. Well, if she didn't found a religion, somebody has to convert her in the first place. So she's going to hate you until she's converted enough to like you.
Oh, which, boy.
And then...
those following religions founded on other continents, so...
Which might be your own religion.
Everybody, including the person who founded the religion, yeah.
I like you and I hate you simultaneously.
Yeah, yeah, I like that we have the same religion, but you were on another continent and you founded it, so I don't like you.
Yeah, basically, I hate you. Like, she would start hating everybody.
Yeah.
She didn't get a religion. Absolutely everybody, including the person who's on her own continent who founded a religion.
She's just looking for a group of people to call heathens.
Yeah.
It starts off all right, but then it goes down.
It goes downhill pretty quick.
Maybe Charles is better.
Ability is the King Mayor. Plus five housing in the capital.
Whoa.
Roads to the capital instantly instead of gradually. When sending a trader to the capital, if it already has a trading post. Well, okay. Five housing in the capital, fine, whatever. Roads to the capital are built instantaneously if the city that is sending the trade route has a trading post.
That's
so,
wait a minute. Wouldn't you already have the road built?
Well, it's, the thing is, capital to a city, to another city, back to the capital. You would have to purposely send trade routes not from the city to the capital, but from city to city to city. You'd have to be trying to build your road system in such a way that it's not all directly instantly connected back to the capital.
Yes.
But then, advantage from this. That's just kind of weird.
But yeah, then you would have to boost, you'd have to send a trade route from those cities that you purposely did not send trade routes back to the capital on for the entire length of the game back to the capital to instantly get a road. I think the concept they're going for is you have an already pre-built trade network, but then you moved your capital, and now it's no longer the center of that trade network. You have to move all your roadways back to that new capital.
It's really iffy in a game that's centered around your capital not moving.
Yeah. I mean, sure, maybe give them an option to move their capital freely, not when they lost it, but just because, and then also allow them to rebuild roadworks. There's probably somewhere in there that makes a little bit more sense than trying to give them a bonus that doesn't make sense. You can't have a trading post without having already previously had a trade route to that city. But I can sort of see what the point they were trying to get based on it, although that doesn't even fit within the game, like Phil said.
And Charles's agenda seems completely disconnected from the ability.
Enlightened absolutism. Likes leaders who produce more culture than faith. Yeah, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything in the Civ. Like, you don't even produce culture. I mean, maybe the unique infrastructure has a plus one culture from the Plaza de Toro, but That's extremely weak to try and base an agenda on.
Well, moving on to the Arabs, their civilization ability is the last prophet, which is what it already is, automatically receive the last great prophet. Oh, plus one science for each foreign city following Arabia's religion. Unique unit one, camel archer replacing crossbow, plus five range, plus two movement, plus three in desert, plus three melee strength in desert.
Okay.
That seems right. The unique unit two, Mamluk, which is, that's already their unique unit.
Yes.
Automatically heals a bit every turn. That's another very precise word.
Well,
you only get a bit. You can now have one bit today and one bit tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll explain the bit conversion rate later.
Yes.
Underwhelming, to say the least.
Well, that's automatically heals plus five every turn, which is what Mamluks currently have. So it's not underwhelming. It does pretty good.
But when it says automatically heals a bit every turn, that a bit part...
Well, you don't know. It's a 64-bit system. Maybe it heals one, and then every turn it goes up in which bit it heals. At some point, that's a lot.
Well, then it should tell us that.
And then it overflows and everything goes to hell, but whatever.
We need more specifics.
Yeah, more specifics, exactly. The unique infrastructure is the souk, which replaces the market, gives plus one housing, plus one food for cities. Trading with a city with a souk starts generating tourism when at least one civilization enters the industrial era.
So my first question is, what is that tourism generation, Mel?
Yeah. Because it's not going to be based on culture, because there's no culture in that building.
No culture in that, yes.
I don't know why you would want to give them food, but okay.
No, exactly. Your unique infrastructure gives a bonus to the AI.
So that they would send trade routes to you.
And also...
It's the carrot, not the stick.
Internal trade routes would work as well, so...
Yeah,
you know.
Could also be internal trade routes.
That's true. If it's internal, then that's fine, but external.
Yep, and we just should change it to say starts generating tourism a bit when at least one civilization is...
Just a bit.
First leader, I'm just going to call him Abd al-Malik. Ability, upon completing a wonder, gain gold equal to 50% of its production cost. Plus one faith from every holy side building in city follow Arabia's religion. That's a pretty good bonus, 50%.
I love this.
But no, you're supposed to get fail gold, not success gold.
Well, you don't even get fail gold, so...
I know. So why are we getting success gold?
Yes.
And 50% of the production cost, guess that's probably a bad number to put in. I mean, it might work in the early eras. No, actually getting... like 300-400 free gold for completing a wonder is probably not a good thing early.
No, that's a
early
builder or a settler or
or getting say like 3,000 to 4,000 gold for completing a late game wonder.
Your gain for completing a wonder is the wonder.
Yeah.
If you were constructing a wonder but you fail to construct it, you could gain gold 50% to the production that you've put into it, maybe. Because it wouldn't want to be, hey, I'm going to get 50% of its production cost, so I'm going to invest one turn in this wonder here, and then one turn in this wonder in this other city, and then, of course I'm going to fail eventually. So 50% of the production you put into it, but this is just, man, impressive.
Sounds like Civ 4 micromanagement with industrialists and stone.
Yeah, exactly. Fail. Deliberate wonder fails.
Oh, yeah. And it was a lot of money. If you stacked those together, if you had stone and industrious and you like built national wonders up to like one turn from completion in four or five different cities while getting the multiplier, yeah, you get a lot of money off that.
Gifts from the Bank of Wonder fail.
Yeah. World wonders, too, if you didn't care about them.
Yeah.
I like the second part of this ability, though.
The plus one faith from every holy site. Building in cities following Arabia's religion. Yep, and that's fair enough. That's a good one. Okay, the agenda. Likes leaders following his religion who construct many holy sites and buildings dedicated to it, and dislikes leaders who construct many holy sites and buildings for other religions. Please be consistent.
I hate you for having a different religion. Okay.
Yep, essentially. Yep.
I like my religious buddies. I hate those other guys.
Although, to be fair, he only likes leaders who have converted to his religion And spam. Yep. Holy sites and buildings dedicated. What about people who follow the religion and don't bother spamming holy sites?
Yes, he doesn't dislike them. He doesn't dislike them, so it's just indifferent to them, sir.
Yeah, that's right. It's just the value is just zero instead of positive or negative.
Yep. Well, you know, that's not really going to happen in the game. It should be zero. It probably wouldn't.
Probably not, but it's fine.
Okay, the second leader, Harun al-Rashid. Ability, +2 signs from campus buildings in cities with a holy site, and +5 from campus buildings in the capital, as well as +1 great scientist points if it has a holy site.
So +5 science on the library that has +2 as its max? Seriously?
Yeah.
That's the early game. When your library gives you double your science for building 2... for building it at 2, and then you go, ooh, hey, look, that great person who can give me 2+ more for that, and look at me, I'm speeding through the text, woo!
No, go
slapping down to flat straight up +5 is, yeah, no. I mean, yes, it'll burn itself off eventually, but there's also that policy that doubles, so that's a +10 from that bonus per building. Remember, this is per building.
Yeah, and the early game is when it counts. As I say, it eventually doesn't make a difference, but you've already got the advantage by then.
The +100% from campus buildings, I mean, that comes later on. But, yeah, like right from the beginning, +5, so that's better than just a library and even a lot of adjacency bonuses that you're probably going to be able to find, let alone having an adjacency bonus on top of that and then get +5.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, right from the beginning.
And it's per building, so you can go straight to university and then get another building in there, so you've already got +10 just from that stuff. You already hit muskets when everybody else is playing with swords.
Yeah.
You're in space while everybody doesn't even know how to fly.
Right, and the agenda is commander of the faithful, likes leaders who have sent him gifts and set up embassies, likes leaders who have gained favorable peace deals. So another chilled dude, doesn't dislike anybody.
But will he accept the embassy if he doesn't like you?
Yeah.
I don't like you enough to accept an embassy because you haven't sent like me an embassy, so screw you.
Like,
what? Yeah, you can't really put that in there as an agenda. I hate you because I hate you. Because I hate you. And you can't do the thing that I want you to like you for because I hate you. Because you didn't do it. Screw you.
Just make the agenda hate everybody. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're trying to win the game the same way I am. let's just reintroduce that.
Yeah, that'd be popular. Yeah, let's do it.
Well, it wasn't Civ 5. It had lots of conversation about it, so I think that meant it was popular.
Yeah.
Also, how does he know that leaders have gained favorable peace deals when there's no concept of favorable versus not favorable, let alone the concept of knowing that this person traded with that person?
Yeah.
How can you define that trade deal to be favorable when you're not even supposed to know that it exists?
And in that case, it's not just any trade deal. It's a peace deal.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, he's not going to dislike anybody, but yeah, in this case, it's also set up to not like anybody either, so no agenda. Oops. We will revisit this again yet on another episode of Polycast. More stuff to come.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659.
In Europe, 441-218-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series' official website at
thepolycast.net.
All right, now Imagine's two favorite words. Go for it, Matt. You know you want to say them.
No. Get out. Bye-bye.
He said them anyway.
He did say the get out. He brought the get out out.
Yeah.
There we go. Dan was fishing for her.
I was. Uh-huh. I was fishing for them, and I caught it.
He was fishing
for backstabs.
This has been Polycast, episode 293. And we've been joined by Mackie.
Dude, I think you need another pot of coffee.
To the main team.
Extra balance.
And Mr. Quick.
If your coffee says decaf, you want to switch your coffee.
And, of course, we've been joined by the correct guest for the week, Oz Benno.
Yes.
Record date?
November 4th, 2017.
Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips. Copyright Take 2 Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.